Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to another fascinating episode on the silsila Treasures of Wisdom. And we hope and pray that you and your families are doing well and are keeping in the best of health, inshallah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, all praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is imperative upon all of us that we show gratitude, we show thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each and every moment of our life, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us so many blessings, so many bounties, that the Holy Quran mentions if you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never ever be able to do so. So always make it a habit to say Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, that all praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under every single circumstances or situation that I may be in. And when you do this, you will see how much of prosperity and barakah will be in your life, in this world, in the qabr, and in the hereafter, inshaAllah. So today, Alhamdulillah, we have a very beautiful topic of discussion, and that is the open enemy of humanity. And to discuss this topic with me, I have in studio none other than our most honorable guest, Mawlana Abdul Qadir, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sayyidi.
How are you keeping, Mawlana Sahib?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. I hope your day has been going well, Mawlana Sahib. MashaAllah. Well, Mawlana Sahib, today we do have a very beautiful topic of discussion, and that is the open enemy of humanity. And of course, you know, the Holy Quran mentions that the open enemy of humanity is Shaytan, and he is a clear enemy of humanity. So inshallah, in this episode today, we will be diving into different aspects and perspectives of the origin of Shaytan, the tricks that he plays and the plots that he has, how he whispers into people, and how different Shayateen has their different roles to play as well. And inshallah, this would give us a much better understanding of Shaytan, so that we all know how to prevent ourselves from his tricks, traps, and his whispers, inshallah. But before that, dear viewers of Madani channel, let us first and foremost mention the excellences of reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this regard, our beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has very beautifully mentioned that those people who sit in a gathering in which they neither do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor do they send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then on the day of judgment, such a gathering will be a means of remorse for those people. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He will punish them or He will forgive them. So let us take this opportunity to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This topic, dear viewers of Madani channel, is very, very imperative and important for you and I to know, because in order to defeat your enemy, you got to know your enemy. And if a person does not know the enemy, then how will such a person defeat the enemy? And every person, you know, they dislikes the enemy. No one says that I like my enemy. Everyone says that if they do not like a particular person, if that person is the enemy, then naturally they would dislike them. And they would try their best to stay away from the mischief. The stronger the enemy, the greater one has to take precaution to stay protected from him. And greater are the protective measures. So the stronger your enemy is, the more greater precaution and protective measures you and I have to take. And when we talk about humanity at large, there is only one enemy, and that is Shaitan, Iblis, the accursed, the rejected. And he is an open enemy to mankind, which even the Holy Quran mentions this, that Shaitan, indeed he is an open enemy to you and I. So in order for us to defeat our enemy, to defeat Shaitan, we need to educate ourselves about him. Yes, he is evil. Yes, he is bad. Yes, he is the Shaitan. But that does not mean you and I don't educate ourselves about him. You and I have to, at all costs, educate ourselves about our enemy, and that is Shaitan. Also, Shaitan, Iblis, the accursed, the rejected. We see throughout time, he always tried, ever since he got rejected, he always tried to put mankind away from the right path and to put them off track. And we see it has happened in the past, in previous nations, maybe thousands and thousands of years ago, where some people may have fallen prey to that and they ended up being ruined. And you know, there are some people also who, when Shaitan put his traps, laid his traps, then such people, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they got saved from the tricks and traps of Shaitan. So, also, when one does, if we take an example, right, a scenario, just to make our views of Madani channel understand it from this angle, that say, for instance, someone wants to carry out some good act or some good work. He wants to do something good, right? And in that goodness, he has this pride, this ostentation in him. Whilst he is doing good, he is doing something good. Maybe he is donating, maybe he is reciting the Holy Quran in a very beautiful way, but he wants that, you know what, people must look at me. So how does one understand this, Master? Because he is doing something good, and at the same time, he wants to be recognized. So how is such a person fallen into the trap of Shaitan? Can this be considered as a trap of Shaitan, Master?
Yes, it's one of the major traps, and we think nothing of it. We feel, okay, we are doing something good, mashallah, and we boast about it, right? And the moment we boast about it, we show off about that particular virtuous deed or action that we have done, we lose it at the same time. Because if we have done something, it is only through the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He enabled us to do so. And if we were sincere, then that is a beautiful thing. If you are sincere in what you're doing, then Shaitan's trick won't work on you.
So if a person is sincere, they wouldn't worry about people's praise, whether they praise the person or not.
Exactly.
It wouldn't make much of a difference to them.
They only need Allah's approval. Nothing else matters. If it's something that is approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let's say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran that Allah azza wa jal likes those who do good to others. Right? In Allah yuhibbul muhsinin, for example.
Ji.
And you be good to others, not for name and fame, so right, people like you or you become a likable person. No, not for any of that. But only to follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must know that by doing this, my Allah will be pleased with me. Sincerity. Shaitan, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for permission to have an upper hand on mankind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him that besides my prophets and those who are infallible in the creation of Allah, besides them, you have an upper hand over the rest of humanity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned that your tricks still work, but not on those who are sincere.
Allahu Akbar.
So those who are sincere, they are truly treading the path closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will lead them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the proximity of Allah. And those who are treading the path to, you know, get name, fame and glory of this world, yes, they will receive that to whatever extent.
Right.
But then they wouldn't have a share in the hereafter. So likewise, there is a hadith in which it is mentioned that on the day of judgment, there will be different kinds of people that will be brought together. And there will be a martyr who was martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apparently.
Gee.
He will go there and he will be commanded to be taken to hellfire. Instead of giving the reward of his martyrdom, he gave his life in the path of Allah. He will say that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him that you gave your life not for me, but so that people can call you such a brave person.
Allah.
He gave his life, he sacrificed himself in the path of Allah. So whatever you you wanted, that you have achieved. Your hall of fame, your poster is there, big and bold, right? And you're famous, right? But you didn't do it for me. So you can't expect for reward from me. And then there will be another person who would be a generous person in people's eyes. And then when he will go, again, he'll be thrown into the hellfire. He will say, but Allah, I did so much of good with whatever I had. You know, I gave charity. Allah subhanahu will say to him, you didn't do it for me. You did it so people can call you a generous person.
Allah.
People can say that you are such a noble person, you know, philanthropic activities and all of that that you've done. Right? All of that, you didn't do it for me. You did it for your own name and fame, which you were given. All the accolades were attributed to you.
You achieved all of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then third person now, he'll go in Qari of the Quran. You know, he would recite Quran beautifully. And when it will come his turn, he'll say, but oh Allah, I did it for you, your kalam, I was reciting it so I could gain the reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, you didn't do it for my sake, for my pleasure, but you did it so people can call you, oh, what a beautiful recitation.
Allah, you know? Akbar.
Also people can, you know, stroke your ego. Right. So that was done already. People said wow and whatever. Right?
You got the wahs.
Exactly.
Right.
So that was done. All the, you know, applauses that you needed, it was given in the world. There's nothing left for you here.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. That was very, very beautifully said, Master, that, you know, sincerity is key to every good that a person does. And that's why it's so important for you and I to have ikhlas, to have sincerity, because if you do not have sincerity in what you're doing, then for who are you doing it anyways? Whatever we do, whatever good that we do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaitan, he is the one that sometimes he would come and put whispers in our ears. He would come and even spoil our good deeds. As Munasab has mentioned, that a Qari will come on the day of Qiyamah, a martyr will come on the day of Qiyamah, a generous person will come on the day of Qiyamah, but at the end they will be ordered to be thrown into hell. Why? Because they did not have sincerity. They did it out of ostentation, to show how brave I am, to show what a sweet, beautiful voice I have, to show what a long hand, what a giving hand I have. They did all of this to get applauses and praises from the people. And Shaitan, for you and I to understand, Shaitan, he uses many, many tactics. And sometimes he makes people commit ostentation to destroy the good deeds. And a person feels that I am doing, a person starts to feel good about himself, that I am doing this, and you know what, I want, in his heart he feels that I want someone to look at me, I want someone to come and tell me, to tap me on the back and tell me, mashallah, you did so well, you did so nice, you recite so beautifully. And the person's nafs at the end of the day gets so happy that the main purpose behind him reciting the Holy Quran is no more there, the essence is lost. And sometimes shaitan causes quarrels and enmity between Muslims to make them backbite and slander one another. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one interesting story, right? Whilst we're on this note here, a person was walking towards the market, right? And shaitan was present there as well. So shaitan had his one finger up. And this person says, why is your finger up? And shaitan, he says that you have no idea what I can do with this one finger of mine. With this one finger, I can turn this entire city upside down. The person got a shock of his life. He was like, what? You can turn this entire city upside down with one finger? How? So shaitan said, okay, I'll show you. You must just wait and watch. So shaitan, he walked through the market. There was a shop, a confectioner shop. He was boiling water in a big pan and he was putting some sugar in it to make a syrup. So what shaitan did, he dipped his finger in that boiling hot water and he rubbed it on the wall. It's a tiny bit. Shaitan went back and told this person, now watch what happens. So flies came, flies, they are attracted to sweet stuff. And dirt as well. So flies came, they went onto that syrup. Thereafter, there was a lizard. Lizard saw the fly, and the lizard went after the flies. This confectioner had a cat as well. So the cat saw the lizard, and it went after the lizard. And while all this commotion is happening, the cat trying to catch the lizard, there were two soldiers from the army who were walking through this market, and they had a dog with them. So this dog saw the confectioner's cat, and the dog, obviously we know that cats and dogs, they don't get along. So the dog ran straight towards that cat. That cat was going after the lizard. It saw the dog coming and it ran for its life. It ran to save its life. As it was running, By mistake, it slipped and it fell into that hot pot of water and it died. The confectioner came out, he saw his innocent cat in that hot pot of his, and he saw that the dog killed his cat. He got angry, he got frustrated. He went and he killed that dog. The soldiers saw the confectioner killing the dog. So the two soldiers, they went to him, they killed him as well. The people around there in that market, the people, they saw what happened, that the soldiers killed the confectioner. All of the people, they came and they killed these two soldiers. Then word went to the army that, you know what, two soldiers have been killed by the people of this locality. The army sent all of their soldiers and they destroyed that entire town. They killed everyone and turned that entire town upside down. Allah. And shaitan told this person, now do you see what I mean? With one finger, and look at what happened. Entire city ruined. And from this, you know, we learn that fighting doesn't bring anyone anything. You know, it doesn't bring a solution to anything. And from this incident, we learn that had they only showed sabr, had they only showed patience, all of this wouldn't have happened. True. If the confectioner didn't get angry, none of this would have happened. But everything happened due to anger, the views of Madani Channel. Anger, if a person cannot control that anger, shaitan takes over such a person. And then a person does not know what happened in the moment, and when he is out, cool and calm, then he asks what happened. what happened? So it's already happened. It's too late to ask what happened, you know?
Yeah, there's three kinds of people. First kind of people, somebody said it, I remember, a time ago. There's one type of people who make things happen.
Right.
Then there's another type of people who watch things happen. Then there are reactive people who don't know what happened. So the angry people, in their rage, when they are enraged, in their anger, in their fit of anger, they do things that they would generally would never do. And if you, let's say, if you recorded a footage, and you show it to them, this is what happened to you.
They'll be like, what? Yes. That really happened?
I did this.
Yeah.
Exactly. So shaitan takes over such people in such situations. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would advise his sahaba at times, like one sahabi came, he asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me a nasiha, advice. So he told him, do not get angry.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
One word.
Right.
La taghdab. Do not get angry. Again, ask. One word. Do not get angry. That was the only advice he gave him. Why is it so important? Because in that moment of anger, we lose the sense of self.
Right.
And we do things that we are not proud of. That we regret later.
That a person can't really own up to it. Exactly. He'll feel embarrassed to own up to that.
And shaitan says that I toy with angry people, like how a child plays with a ball, kick it around.
Allah.
I make him do whatever I want, like the ball.
Right.
We have seen children playing soccer, right?
Yes, yes.
Exactly. So this is what shaitan does to us. And that moment of anger, for that one moment, instant gratification, because our ego is too big maybe at times. We cannot take it and we lash out on others, hurt the feelings of others, say hurtful things, beat people up. Yes, it can take various different forms.
Right.
And it's ugly. To say the least.
And sometimes, you know, because of that also, homes, I mean, good homes are destroyed.
Yes.
Families get ruined. Then we would find family members cutting off ties with other, all because of them not controlling the anger.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important for you and I to control our anger. If we really want to fight, you really want to show that you're man enough, then we should fight against shaitan.
Yes.
Because shaitan, he is our open enemy. If you want to fight against your nafs. If you want to fight against sins. If you want to fight against lying, fight against backbiting, fight against fraud, fight against anger, fight against slandering, fight against all these evils. All of these evil qualities, the pride, jealousy, ego, all of that we have, that a person has in the heart, that is what we should be fighting. Not fighting with someone who is good, and more than that, who is a Muslim. A Muslim is sacred to another Muslim. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in his farewell sermon, that the blood of a Muslim is sacred to another Muslim. So instead of us fighting against each other, we should be fighting against shaitan, fighting against our nafs. And when we do that, we would see that all of the evils in society, they would be one side, and we would only be spreading goodness. Our job is not to remove the patient, but rather to remove the sickness. So just like that day, our job isn't to fight with anyone. Rather, we must hate the sin. We must hate the sin and not the person.
Yes.
That is what we must do. We shouldn't be doing it vice versa, where we start to hate the person as well. No. We are, as Islam encourages this, and every one of us, all of us, the Muslims are like one brotherhood. The Muslims are one ummah. If one part feels hurt, gets a fever, then the rest of the body parts, they also feel that pain. So just like that, instead of fighting against one another, we should fight against shaitan. And when you do that, then you would see how much of peace there would be, how much of peace there would be in our homes. The divorce rate won't be going so high. Why? Because a person understands that anger is bad. Anger is something that I should be controlling and not just spreading it out like wildfire. No, that should not be the case. And when we look at the history of Shaitan, we see that he is created from smokeless fire. And he was rejected and thrown out from the heavens. Why? Because of pride. Because of having pride. Now imagine, you and I, if we have to show pride, what good is that going to do? I mean, over how many things we are so proud of. Someone may have good shoes, someone may not have good shoes, and then we have this pride over that. Someone may have a good vehicle, someone may not have a good vehicle, and then we have pride over that. Pride is something that can destroy a person. Greed is also something that can destroy a person. And all of this are the traps of Shaitan. That when you have money, you know, when a person has money and they get more, they will always want more and more and more until nothing satisfies them. They always want more money. And such a person turns out to be greedy. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the only thing that can fill the belly of man is the sand of his grave. That's the only thing that will fill the belly of man. That shows how greedy man can be. So we should not be of those who are greedy, because this is also a trap of Shaitan. Look at Balaam bin Ba'ura, a man from Bani Israel. You know, he was so pious, but his end was ruined. His end was destroyed because of him having greed. So, Murasa, mashallah, you've mentioned many, many beautiful angles and words of wisdom as well with regards to the traps of Shaitan and, you know, his ostentation, pride, anger also you've mentioned. So, Murasa, how detrimental is it if a person if a person falls into the trap of Shaitan, especially when it comes to seeking knowledge of Islam? Some you may find out there that when they are advised, you know what, go and seek Islamic knowledge, go and seek a knowledge of Islam, then they would say, no, I don't need to. I mean, I finished do my madrasa, I finished learn alif ba ta tha, and I know how to read Quran, I know everything, I don't need to go to learn more. I don't need to. So how detrimental is this monster where a person feels like his cup is full to the brim?
Yeah, that's pride. You just said earlier on, pride, ego,
right,
ostentation, showing off. They're relatively different terms, but in a nutshell, they stem from the same.
Right.
It's the same kind of feeling. Right? Uh-huh. And there are traps of Shaitan. You've mentioned these are the traps of Shaitan. See, when there is a trap, you need a rescue,
right,
to get out of the trap. If you can't help yourself, you need a force to rescue you. And subhanallah, the beautiful deen of Islam has given us beautiful litanies, wazifas. For example, reciting A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. By reciting that we fortify ourselves in the fortress of the protection of Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
By saying La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim, we fortify our personality from and shield it against Shaitan by considering the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His might to be the most supreme. Nobody is above that.
Right.
Subhanallah, there is no power above the power of Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. See, Shaitan got a trap.
Right.
And to destroy a trap, you need a force. And we have the help of Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
So whenever we feel ourselves trapped, always ask for inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the only antidote. Final. The final dot. And all the traps of Shaitan will be destroyed. And if we start to count on ourselves, then we are weak.
Right.
Yeah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Holy Quran that shaitan is weak, right? And where do we get our strength from? It is from the help of Allah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
And that's how we come out stronger against shaitan. Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala, say for example, right?
Ji.
He was actually deceived, so to say, by shaitan.
Right.
Shaitan attempted to deceive Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. And there was a time when Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was at a place where a cloud formed. And with a silver lining, and from there a voice came that I am your Lord and I have made all those things lawful for you that are unlawful for others. Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he knew instantly is shaitan. And then shaitan asked him, how did you recognize me? Was it your knowledge? He said, my Rabb, he saved me.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
He didn't boast about his knowledge.
Right.
But what did he say? That my Rabb, my Allah Azza wa Jal saved me.
And look at what shaitan said. The first trap was the cloud that came and the lining and saying that I am your Lord. And then after that, shaitan said, you got saved by your knowledge. I mean, that's so cunning how shaitan really plays.
Yes, tricks within a trick. You know?
Yeah.
Very intriguing. And he...
And it's so subtle as well.
Yes, there are layers of his deceptions. And by the time you get to the bottom of it, you are exhausted. Therefore, the easiest way, the most effective way, is to go in the shelter provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek Allah's protection. That is the only protection that we need.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. And also, Masab, you know, say for instance, right, you have an alim and you have a non-alim, right? Shaitan, a non-alim may think that, you know what, I am a Muslim and I am doing things as a Muslim, and he may feel that I can protect myself against the traps of shaitan. Is it really the case here, Musa?
Yes, alhamdulillah. This knowledge, how does a person become an alim? By gaining the knowledge of the divine speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the glorious Quran. By gaining the knowledge of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu, that is the sunnah. Subhanallah, the Islamic laws, rules and regulations, Islamic values, right? Islamic morals and ethics to live one's life by. So after adorning oneself with all these Islamic sciences, one has a pretty good idea as to how I can, you know, come up and rise up against the deception of shaitan.
Right.
Only if we practice it. Yes. Knowledge is by itself is not as good, as effective as practicing it. So once a person practices upon that knowledge, alhamdulillah, it can be effective. And it is mentioned that there was a student, and one day shaitan, he laid his throne on water, and he started taking class of all of his disciples and the minions that were there. He started taking the reports, what you did today, all right, what you got up to.
Right.
All of them, they presented whatever they had done for the day. One said, okay, I made this one commit fornication. And one will say, okay, I caused a fight between husband and wife.
Sure.
One will say, okay, I actually motivated this person to steal. Other will say, okay, I made him kill somebody. Different things.
Big things.
Yes. And then when he comes to one shaitan amongst them, he asked him, what did you do? He said, I misled a child today from going to madrasa.
Allahu Akbar.
And he applauded him. He said, wow, you've done it. You know, what an amazing job.
Right.
And the other shayateen, now they're all up in arms. How is it even compared to what we have done?
He did something so small.
Exactly.
And we did such big things.
Exactly.
So
shaitan said, okay, apparently you don't understand. Let me give you a demo.
Right.
I said, okay, come with me. He took them to by a masjid. And it was almost time of Fajr. and there was this elderly man, and an ardent worshipper, meaning five times namazi, mm-hmm. he's going for salah, and then he stops him, that please, before you go, you know, I just have a question, can you answer my question? He says, yes, no problem, what's your question? Make it fast because I'm running late. He said, okay, no problem, very quick. Mm-hmm. I've got this small bottle. Does Allah have power over it to fit this entire world into this bottle?
Allahu Akbar.
So he got him thinking. Hmm. He said, how can that be possible?
Allah,
the whole world into a small bottle? I don't think so.
Sure.
He said, oh, thank you, you can go.
Right.
Right. And then after that, Shaitan turned to his minions and he told them, did you see? All his lifetime of worship got destroyed because of him being an illiterate.
In a single
not have
moment.
Knowledge of Islam about the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa jal has power over everything. No possibilities are beyond the qudrat and the power of Allah.
Right.
And he rejected that article of faith.
Allah.
And he became a disbeliever just by saying that. And all his years of worship means nothing now. Now, watch. There was an alim also going to the masjid. Shaitan stopped him.
Why?
He said, I've got a question just before you go. He said, make it fast, I'm running late. He said, okay, very quick. I've got this small bottle, and then I just wanted to ask you, is Allah capable enough to fit this entire world into this bottle? He said, look, you appear to be Shaitan. Not only this world into this bottle, but if Allah wills, He can fit this entire universe and universes like this, the multiverses. And He can make it go through the eye of a needle.
Subhanallah.
That is the qudrat of Allah, and even beyond that. Subhanallah. And then he went away. Shaitan turns to his minions and he says to them, look, his knowledge saved him. His practical knowledge about the deen of Islam, about the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never undermined the power of Allah.
Allah.
Whereas a person who, although he worshipped and prayed for a lifetime, it didn't do him any good, you know, at the end. And I was able, and I could manage to throw a cold water over years of his ibadah, these
Allah
efforts that he made.
Akbar. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So that is, you know, really, really thought-provoking. And it actually makes one think that, you know what, it's time for us to empower ourselves with education, with knowledge of Islam, with beneficial knowledge. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that it is compulsory, it is fard for each and every single Muslim male or female, male and female, to seek the knowledge of Islam. This is how much we have to empower ourselves to learn the teachings of the Holy Quran and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whilst we are speaking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this beautiful a hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us, we do also have a very beautiful kalam on ourselves. And I think let us go forward and listen to this melodious kalam, and we will be back thereafter to discuss much more into this beautiful topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Madine jaane walo, jao jao. فی امان اللہ مدینے جانے والو جاؤ جاؤ فی امان اللہ کبھی تو اپنا بھی لگ جائے گا بستر مدینے میں نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو نہ ہو مایوس دیوانوں پکارے جاؤ تم ان کو بلائیں گے تمہیں بھی ایک دن سرور مدینے میں سرور مدینے میں سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں آقا آرزو ہے سینے میں گھر بنے مدینے میں ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی ہو کرم جو بندے پر بندہ پروری ہوگی بندہ پروری ہو سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی بات کیا ہے باد سبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے بات کیا ہے باد سبا اتنی کیوں معطر ہے سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی سبز سبز گنبد کو چوم کر چلی ہوگی کر چلی ہو سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے سو کھلیں گے اس کے لیے رحمتوں کے دروازے نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی نعت مصطفیٰ جس نے ایک بھی سنی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم سب کی حاضری ہوگی دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ دیکھ تو نیازی ذرا سو گیا کیا دیوانہ ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی ان کی یاد میں شاید آنکھ لگ گئی ہوگی سوچتا ہوں میں وہ گھڑی کیا جب گھڑی ہوگی جب درے نبی پر ہم رب کی حاضری ہوگی. بلا لو ہم غریبوں کو, بلا لو اے میرے آقا, میں آؤں آپ کے در پر, کرم ہو اے میرے آقا.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سبحان اللہ سبحان اللہ. What a beautiful and melodious kalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the complete love of His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grant us all the ability to implement the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing our topic for today, the open enemy of humanity. And mashallah, Maulana Sahib has mentioned quite a few beautiful words of wisdom and beautiful angles and perspectives with regards to the traps, the tricks and the whispers of shaitan, how shaitan makes subtle traps as well, subtle tricks that, you know, at times a person falls into those traps and then the good deeds, they end up going to waste. So it's important that Munasab has also mentioned the sincerity. Sincerity is very important, that each and every one of us have, whenever we do anything good, that our intention should be, Ya Allah, I am doing all of this for your pleasure, for your sake, and not for anybody else. When you have this, when you have the sincerity, then you block the ways of shaitan, putting in waswasas, putting in whispers as well. As long as your intention is right, everything else will be right. As they say in Urdu, Munasab, niyat saaf manzil asan, that if the niyat is good, then the destination will also be easy. So we are discussing shaitan, and now to give a brief background on shaitan. Before shaitan being declared as unfortunate and accursed, he was beautiful, he was handsome, and he had a lot of knowledge. He worshipped a lot, and he was the leader of the angels. Can you imagine that? And he also had a very high status, a very high position amongst the angels. So before he became the leader of the angels, Iblis, who is referred to as Shaitan as we know it, he was in charge of looking after the treasures of paradise, of heaven. Guess for how long? For 40,000 years. And he was with the angels for 80,000 years. And he would lecture, he would give bayanat, he would lecture to the angels for 20,000 years. And also he was the leader of the angels, close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam and Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam, for 30,000 years.
Allah.
He was the leader of the Ruhaniyin. These are specific angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose faces are brighter than the sun and the moon for 1,000 years. He did tawaf of the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for 14,000 years. And it doesn't end there. In the first sky, his name was Abid. In the second sky, his name was Zahid. In the third sky, his name was Arif. In the fourth sky, his name was Wali. In the fifth sky, his name was Taqi. In the sixth sky, his name was Khazin. And in the seventh sky, his name was Azazil, whereas his name was written as Iblis. And Iblis means hopeless of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, his name was written as Iblis in the Lawhi Mahfuz, the sacred tablet. And Shaitan, he was completely unaware of his fate. I mean, look at the background of Shaitan, leader of the angels, teacher of the angels, lecturing to the angels for thousands of thousands of thousands of years. It's even mentioned that there is not a place on this earth in which Shaitan did not make sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did not prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end, he became rejected, became accursed for eternity. Why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that the angels and should prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, then Shaitan refused. And what did he say? Shaitan said that I am made from fire, he is made from clay, and I am better than him. Shaitan showed arrogance, Shaitan showed pride, and because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Shaitan, "Ukhruj minha," that get out from here. You are accursed, you are rejected. So, what we learn from this debut of Madani Channel is that we should also protect ourselves from showing arrogance, from having pride, from showing off, from having this feeling in us that we are better than others. How can we be better than others when we are all created from sand? We are created from that sand, and we are going to return to that sand. So how can you and I be better than others? Yes, if someone is more pious than us, then most definitely they are better than us. But we should look at it like this, that we should have this mindset: I am not better than nobody. I need to perfect my own self. I need to look at my own flaws. I don't need to go around looking at other people's flaws and telling them that, you know what, you like this and you like that. I don't need to do all of that. Because if I do that, then I am losing out on the opportunity to perfect my own character. And this is so important, Munasab. You know, this what we gain from all of this is also important for a person to avoid having, to avoid showing arrogance, because arrogance also leads to destruction as well. So, Munasab, we just have around 2 minutes left, inshallah. Are there any concluding words from yourself, Munasab?
See, the arrogance you mentioned, it's a very destructive force. Mm-hmm. And the main cause for the ruin and the destructions of all the previous nations.
Hmm. Arrogance.
Yes.
Sure.
One single, you know how you say, one single flaw that they had, mm-hmm, was arrogance. They were very arrogant.
Allah.
Because of that, most of the nations were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Take, for example, the nation of Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, Aad, Thamud, right, Fir'aun, Namrud, they were all arrogant people, arrogant nation. As a result, they were all destroyed.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
And this is the main cause of our destruction. If we want to safeguard ourselves against the destruction, then we must take care of this evil from within. That is ego, that is pride, that is arrogance. If we can get rid of this, this is an evil, you know, that really invites and incurs the wrath of Allah.
Inshallah, inshallah. Jazakallah Munasab for those beautiful words of wisdom. And this is something for us to take the views of Madinah Channel, a food for thought. And let us end on this note with the blessed saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that arrogance is to oppose the truth and think of others as inferior. And Imam Raghib Asfahani rahimahullah, he writes that to think of oneself as better than others, this is arrogance. So let us save ourselves from this evil quality, and let us fight not against our Muslim brothers, not against other fellow Muslims, but let us fight against our open enemy of humanity, and that is Shaitan. Until next time, stay wise, stay kind, and keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Treasures of wisdom, treasures of wisdom.